You greet you in Jesus' name. Consider it a privilege to be in your presence again here this morning. It's just a blessing how God orchestrates our ways that far supersede any kind of, I don't know, plans that we would make. You know, it just seems like, I find it very interesting. It was, I don't know how many years ago it was now, maybe 3 years ago. And there we were introduced to the first time to James and Gladys. We had the privilege to sit under their teaching for a week and got to know them. And of course, I think I can say this, when you sit under James's teaching, you learn a little bit about his home. Just simply because of things that he shared. I don't remember what his topic even was or what assignment he was given. But, got to know a few things about his home. And, you know, I just remember that. And then that was it. It was over and we went home. And I don't know what it was, a year or two later when our son was at SMBI and he came home with a certain amount of interest in this young lady and we began piecing things together and it's, oh, yeah, I think I know this James Yoder. And that was the start of that journey, or at least a piece of the start of that journey. And so here we are today, and I find it interesting. And so, I just want to bless you as a congregation here. It's just a blessing to sit in your midst. You know, as I think about sharing, you know what? I didn't turn this on, did I? All right. I apologize for that. As I come here and sit in your midst again and hear you share different of you, your faith, your journey, where you're at in your walk with God, the things that I feel that God has laid on my heart to share here this morning, would only desire that that be a bit of an encouragement in your journey, in your personal walk with God, in your faith. Brother Laverne, I see you sitting in the back. It was a blessing. I just want you to know that it was a blessing to me our first time here. I think it was our first time here when you were going through some health issues and you were up front here sharing part of that journey. And I don't know where all your journey has led you since that, but what you had shared that Sunday was an inspiration to me. You know, we face things in life that are at times difficult, at times very difficult. And to be able to keep going forward in light of those difficulties is a blessing and is an inspiration. So I just want to bless you in that, bless you as a church family here. And we'd just like to give you all some encouragement in your personal journey and your walk with God as I share here this morning. I'm not big on titles, but if I were to title it, I would title it The Christian and His Security. And I plan to share some things here in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there, we'll read it in a few minutes. The Christian and his security. You know, our testimony in life, I grew up in a plain community, but I had no walk with God. I had no personal faith in Christ. I became a church member and jumped through all those hoops. And later, after my wife and I were married, we came to faith and freedom in Christ Jesus, where my journey began. And it was soon after that when I came across this scripture, and has become a very dear scripture to me over the years of recognizing there is a place of security for the Christian. There is a place of rest for the Christian. And this scripture encourages me in our spiritual journey of faith. You know, in the business world, there's a lot of focus on career advancement, in career advancement and security as it relates to that. And I'm not this morning wanting to talk necessarily about the right or the wrong of all of that, but we recognize there is that advancement, and we understand that from a business perspective. In fact, I remember a good friend of mine that doesn't live anymore. It was not too long ago. There were some brothers talking about him. It was actually before his health was failing, about he was at a place of security. He reached a place of status, not status, but financial, where he was secure. He was set for the future. He was set for the future, and he could be at rest as it relates to that. And that's not necessarily neither right or wrong, but we understand that as it relates to the business world. And, you know, our culture puts a lot of focus on that, a lot of emphasis on that, of becoming secure financially. And, you know, not to debate that this morning of how much of that we should go after or not go after, but I'm thankful this morning that there's a place of security and rest for the Christian. You know, this morning I'd just like to make reference to it, and I'm sure some of you read the book Gary Miller. I think it was in his book Going Till You're Gone, where he gives the statistics of businesses that actually survive into the second and third generation. Have any of you ever read that book? I'm not sure if it's in that book or one of his other books. The businesses that actually survive into the second generation is amazingly low. And to the third generation is extremely low. I don't remember the statistics anymore, but it's actually alarming. It's actually alarming. And you know, this morning, and you know, as you consider that, and I don't remember what all he was talking in the context of that, but I do remember he talked about a man who starts his own business and he puts a lot of hard work and toil and labor into it and builds that business. And many times it gets to the second generation. The second generation, it's been handed to him. There's not a lot of fighting goes on. There's not a lot of elbow grease that is needed to make that business succeed. And you know, by then it's easy to be at the lake fishing rather than building your business. And if that business actually survives to the third generation, few of them actually survive anymore because of so much that has been handed. And you know, you look at all that with mixed feelings, you realize as parents, we want to hand these values to our children. But I think the best thing that we can hand to our values, that we can hand to our children, is to realize it is their personal faith, it is their endurance, it is their investment in the kingdom of God that is actually going to pull them through to having that, to succeed in their Christian faith and in and go after those things. It is by that rather than just having it handed. You know, irregardless of grandpa's faith or dad's faith, it's their own personal faith and advancement that's going to pull them through. And so this morning I'd like to consider those things in light of the subject here of our success and our security, and to give us some encouragement into these things this morning, into our own personal growth, our personal security, our spiritual success. And there's some beautiful things that relates to us here in 2 Peter chapter 1 as it relates to all that. Faith that's going to survive into the second and third generation. And so I think at this time we're just going to go ahead and read 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're there in your Bibles, we'll read this. And then we're going to emphasize a number of things here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. That was the part that I'm referring to there that just stuck out to me as a young Christian, that there is actually a place of security that we can have for the Christian. And you know, this morning I want to be careful how I present or share what I'm going to share. We could almost take it that this is a faith that stands based on our own works, and it's not. I'd like to at least make reference a bit to a number of things that we see here in the first couple verses. And then I'd like to go on and look from verse 5 on at some of these beautiful qualities, I believe, that are steps, or if you want to call it a ladder, if we could illustrate a ladder, to that place of Christian growth that is largely what I'd look at here this morning. But I'd like to make a few comments just to make sure that I don't give a wrong message here this morning, you know, it is a blessing to actually come to faith in Christ Jesus and to stand in His righteousness and His righteousness alone. And in Him only is our salvation. In Him only is our salvation, that we can actually be partakers by faith into that divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is coming to that beautiful place and rest in Christ Jesus that is a blessing. You know, this morning I so appreciated the song that we sang, Teach Us, O Lord, to Number Our Days. Teach us to number our days. Beautiful. Beautiful comments that were made. I appreciate your worship here, by the way. That's a blessing. And that's a gift. Teach us to number our days, that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. And you know, if I could illustrate it here just a little bit this morning, as it relates to our faith, and as it relates to the gift of our faith, you know, I have a son, a special son, who just really enjoys Big John Deere's. And we get documentaries on Big John Deere's, and he goes, of course, watching some of these through the John Deere plant of these large green machines that roll off the assembly line. And it was one of them, I caught bits of it as he was watching it, is this large, big combine that rolled off the assembly line, and the new purchaser of it got to be there when it rolled off the assembly line, and it gave the whole documentary of him being the first one to sit in that seat and to be handed this gold medal key or something like that and stick it in the ignition and turn it, and this thing burst to life for the first time. And I guess if you're a big operator farmer, like I'm sure there's plenty of them around this area, this was quite an honor to do that. And you know, it has always been a blessing to me. It has been a blessing to me in my own spiritual journey to get to that place where I realized that this key that's handed to us in the gospel is beautiful. And for the first time, you know, it's always a joy to me if you're in a counseling room with a soul that's struggling his way through and seeing him come to faith. And I always enjoy to hold a key out, or if it's one of my children, and say, now, how do you get this? Well, you get this by reaching out by faith and taking hold of this key. And it's beautiful. It's a brand new start. It's the power of the gospel. It's accepting that divine nature that can free us and rid us from the world. That has to be in place. If we tried to build these qualities, which I tried to do for quite a number of years and failed until I came to faith. But you know what? These are beautiful qualities. And what I'd like to at least look at this morning is, in light of this so great of salvation, this, if I'm understanding this context correctly, what he's actually referring to, and this is just simply taking God's word at face value as we read it this morning, you know, it's that faith in Christ, as I at least am trying to share, that where our security lies. But the security that we have in our salvation is actually in the context of this salvation that it's talking about building on here in our Christian life. And so that is where I'd like to go here this morning and look at that. On one hand, it's the beautiful gift, and then it is the elbow grease that gets put into our salvation, you know, teaching us to number our days, applying our hearts to wisdom, and fighting the good fight of faith, as we see here in our salvation this morning. And I am wanting to at least watch a clock so I can see what time this is here. So we want to look at these things here this morning, and I'd like to largely put my focus, and I realize that, you know, in a message in this allotted time, you really can't do justice to some of these qualities, but I'd just like to at least go over them. To give us all some encouragement, I'm going to focus a little more on some of them, others possibly relating some to my own spiritual life and journey as we consider these things. But I'd like to look at them this morning, these qualities in the Christian life that are ours and that is actually our responsibility to apply these things in our lives. You know, here in verse 5 it says, besides this, he says, give all diligence. And then he talks about adding to our faith, virtue and knowledge and so forth. But I'd just like to focus a little bit here this morning on this whole thing of giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. The diligence here actually means earnestness or zeal. You know, someone, as I related here just a little bit earlier in the context of advancement in our career, you know, somebody that is maybe called to a place of leadership or something like that in a career or business, he really is not going to be a lot of value to the company or business unless he has a certain amount of earnestness, a certain amount of zeal, a certain amount of that kind of thing that gets him going. You know, there's a brother that I've appreciated in our church over the years that was into food development for a large food distributor in our area. And it was interesting to me over the course of about 10, 15 years how this business grew immensely. This business grew immensely. And this man was an amazing man as it relates to food development. If I'd say his name, some of you may know him. Might be best if I don't. But he was an amazing man in food development, what he could go, things he could do. And he told me one time he had three passions in life. And he was a godly man, a God-fearing man, loved the Lord. And he said one passion is raising family and the other one is food. And you could tell it. And you could tell it. It just oozed out of him. And that is actually, I think, what this particular food distributor, that business really went places. And I have no idea what they paid the man, but I think it had to do with where his interests were. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. You know, God has so many things for the children of God today. So earnestness or diligence in comparison to just, you know, being mediocre. Diligent in the Christian life. And so with these, with our personal faith here, we have virtue, we have knowledge, we have temperance, we have godliness, we have brotherly kindness, and we have charity. These are things, and I am by no means giving. In fact, some of these qualities just shine out of the congregation here, just being in your midst several times. Maybe we'll make a few comments on that later. And that's a blessing. But these are things that God calls us to add to our faith. Well, let's just look a bit at some of these. Let's look at the first one here is virtue, which is basically excellent. And I found it's interesting that one of the Greek words to virtue here is manliness, excellence or manliness. And you know, when we come to faith in Christ, I actually thought of the verse in 1 Corinthians 13:21 that says, "When I came a man, I put away childish things." You know, I see a lot of in Christendom in today's day, a lot of not even sure how to describe it, but just a lack of maturity, we could call it that. It tends to be that way. But God calls us to be men and women of God, to go after these virtues, go after excellence. You know, that's something that we hear of in the business world of our day. Excellence. Excellence is. I worked for a large company for a number of years. I've been self-employed for quite a while now. But excellence was something to go after. You go after that to get places. Add to our faith this excellence. What does your and my life reflect? You know, to be a man, to put away those childish things. You know, in our culture, in our day, there's many other things to distract us from excellence in the Christian life. You know, God help us to not be playing games with the foolish things of this world, but to be men and women of God. And to go after those things that in the Christian life. And that's just my encouragement as it relates to excellence here, as it relates to virtue. And then we have our next one here is knowledge. Knowing and understanding. Knowledge is something to go after. You know, I would just encourage us to appreciate history. You know, there's a lot that we can learn from history. To go after and understand, you know, the choices that we make have long, have tremendous effects. And to be, to understand knowledge and to and God's Word and to study God's Word and to understand God's Word, learn to be an observer. You know, I as I'm sharing these things, I'm thinking more from a my burden is for young people. I love young people. I love the zeal of young people and the energy of young people. And I realize I'm no longer in that stage. But, you know, my encouragement here this morning is as a young person to carefully evaluate the choices that you make. You know, I didn't have in mind in sharing this, but just recently in our community, there were some young boys one evening who just thought they would pray seemingly a bit of a foolish prank. And they threw some I don't know what kind of firecrackers it was. It was something pretty big in the back of a church. You may have heard about it out here. I don't know. But there was a choir there singing that night. It was a conservative church. And they just randomly threw some firecrackers into the back, and they sent the whole church into array. I mean, with all the terrorism and the attacks and those kind of things, you don't do those things anymore and get away with it. And I'm not sure if some of them are currently sitting in jail today. But it was young boys in the Plain community that just made those kind of foolish choices. But you know, knowledge, and to be men, to think like men, rather than ignorance, is my encouragement to us here this morning. You know, you can see many examples of people who allow bitterness to take root in their heart, or maybe just overreact to bad situations and those kind of things, and we see where that takes and leads many today. But learn, be learners, be students, study the life of Christ, immerse ourselves in the Word of God. That's adding to our faith. Temperance is self-control, the ability to control myself. Temperance is something that God calls us here to add to our faith, to be able to build self-control into our lives. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians just a bit. You can turn there to 1 Corinthians 9, and I'd like to make a few comments, just read a few verses there. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. This is where it's Paul here is using the illustration of running a race. Beginning in verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body in subjection and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He's here using the whole athletic perspective, talking about temperance. And I found this here interesting from an athlete's perspective. I found this as it relates to self-control. And this is, of course, as I stated, from an athlete's perspective, the whole area of and value of self-control in our personal life. These are 10 points from a modern-day athletic perspective on this idea of self-control. He says, number one, when I work out myself, I push myself hard even when no one is around. In other words, this is an athlete's goals, to gain an earthly crown, or to advance in the whole area of professional basketball. He says when he works out, he pushes himself hard even when no one else is around. Number two, I have successfully refrained from junk food and pop for longer than 2 weeks. This is his goals. This is his values for a temporal crown. I do the hardest tasks first. That was number three. Number four, I have my life's goals written down. I have my goals posted where I can see them. I don't say everything that comes to my mind. Number seven, I remain calm under pressure. Number eight, I see the big picture and what I'm living for. Number nine, my thoughts are sound, strong, and lift me up. Number 10, I pursue tasks to their full completion. You know, it's interesting when we look at things from a world perspective. From a world's perspective, they understand the idea of self-control. They do it. And, you know, it all has to do with where our values are. It has to do with where our values are. This area of temperance is very important in our culture. And, you know, as we think of our culture, so much of our culture is geared toward personal gratification. You can have it now. You know, if you think about the media, you think about our advertisement, you think about our commercials, and I don't know what you do as a fellowship here as it relates to the internet, as it relates to smartphones, as it relates to YouTube, but you can hardly watch anything on there without getting a commercial or an ad or something. And so much of it has to do with our personal gratification of what we can have today and what we can have now. I think temperance is something that we really need to be on our guard with, that we need to be on our toes with, as it relates to our our faith, as it relates to our growth, as it relates to going after excellence, temperance, self-control. I'd like to talk just a bit here now about this whole area of patience, and this is the one probably that affects me the most. Patience, cheerful or hopeful endurance, the ability to not give up under pressure. Laverne, I thought about you when I related to that one. The ability not to give up under pressure. The ability to not let our emotions control us. You know, in our Christian journey, many of us, probably most of us, at times find ourselves experiencing hard things. We do. And you know, we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly as it relates to our personal journey and to the things that God allows to come our way. And I'd like to paint a bit of a picture in our minds here this morning, and this is the one I would emphasize the most, is the ability to keep going even when we don't feel like it. And this is what I feel God has laid on my heart the most as it relates to all these points, and some of it I'm sure has to do with what some of our family current experience has been. And I'd like to illustrate it to us this way. I saw this up here on the board, or the background here, I guess you call it a motto, whatever you would call it, hanging there. But I'm going to just envision this morning that back here on the board is a picture of your life. It's a picture of your life and your journey and your experience. And then let's just picture this thing hanging here was bigger. It would pretty much cover the whole picture. I'm looking at something a bit larger than that. And we really couldn't see what's behind there. But just envision in your minds that what is behind that big blanket hanging there is your life, or curtain, is your life. And so much of our life, especially as a young person, is hid behind there. You really don't know what it is. You have goals, you have values, you have pursuits, you have things that you think it's very likely that God will do for you. You look at other people's lives and what their experience has been, what their outcome has been. And we do a lot of that, and that's not wrong. It's not necessarily wrong. You can look at a man who makes ungodly, foolish choices, and you can see where that his life takes him. You can look at another man, and you can see he has weathered storms, and he's you see where his personal faith took him, and you see what his outcome is, and you look at those things, and you add them up. We gain a lot of wisdom from that. We do, and so that's not wrong to do, but it's part of our makeup that we formulate in our mind what the outcome of my life is going to be and what it's going to look like. So let's think about that as I'm going to illustrate what's behind there. And let's just suppose this curtain is over our life here, and we just come over here to one part of this curtain, and we could pull it back, and we could look what's back there. And let's just suppose we come over here to this side, and we pull it back, and there we see a picture of a beautiful, tall mountain. And on the top of that mountain stands a massive bull elk. If some of you are like me, you enjoy a picture like that. You enjoy seeing a beautiful, big, massive horns elk standing there, and that's all you can see because it's just a small picture. We pull back, and you look at that, and you say, "Wow, that's my life. That's beautiful. That's beautiful." And so you're looking at that, and you're kind of liking what you see there. And then let's suppose we come over here to this side, halfway up. And we're able to pull back, and we're able to look at a picture there. And here we see is a hunter. Here we see a hunter. Just it's all you can see is this hunter. And we notice he has a gun, and he's aiming it in the direction of that massive bull elk. And you look at that, and all of a sudden you realize the perspective has changed. It might depend on whether you're just an animal lover and you love creation, or if you're a hunter, it'll give you a bit of a different sense of feel of what your life is like. If you're a hunter, you're going to say, "Wow," you know, and so now all of a sudden the perspective of this picture of your life, it changes, and you look at that, and that, we get a little bit of mixed emotion now because you realize that this bull elk is pretty close. I mean, he's aiming and everything, and so you're looking at that, and you're thinking about your life, but there's so much that you can't see. And that's just a vision in this curtain up here above where the hunter is. We pull it back, and now we get another view of what this picture of your life is like. And let's just suppose up in a tree above the hunter, we see a mountain lion. And we see a mountain lion up there on a branch, and he is just ready to make his lunge onto the hunter. And we see that up there. And all of a sudden, does something change? All of a sudden, we realize that, first of all, we saw this beautiful thing over here. And then we see this hunter here and the direction that he's aiming. And then we see the mountain lion up there. And all of a sudden, we realize that the dynamics of the picture totally change. Totally change. We realize that within a half a second, that hunter is going to be lunged on. And the hunter is aiming at the elk, and he has no clue what's above him. And so now we see that picture, and there's a lot in here that we don't see. And all of a sudden, the dynamics of my life have changed drastically. And now let's envision that over here on the bottom, down here somewhere below where this elk is, we pull another picture back in this curtain, and there we see there's a man laying under the thicket. There's a man that's hiding under some underbrush and some thicket. And then we do a little bit more of a careful observation at the hunter over here that's pointing his gun, we thought, at the bull elk, and all of a sudden we realize that, you know what, he's not necessarily pointing as that elk as I thought. He's actually aiming at that man down here in the thicket. And we begin wondering, there must be some sort of a fight had gone on between these two. And we see that it looks like he's not even aiming at the elk like we thought. Now, that concocted story is all that it is, but and there's so much in between there that we don't see. But isn't that a bit how it is with our life? We look at things, we piece things together, and we try to formulate what our life is going to be like. And, you know, God is in control of all of that. And as it relates to all of that, you know, and we're talking here about endurance, we're talking about hopeful endurance, we're talking about patience, we're talking about not giving up under pressure. You know, we really do see through a glass darkly as it relates to our future and as it relates to what God has for His children. And it's all, I believe, in God working out His story in our life. And many, many times it's very different than what you and I have in mind. Brother Laverne, I don't know what all you have been going through as a brother as it relates to your journey. I'm looking at you some here because I realize you face some hard things. But you know, we as a family find ourselves at a different place than I ever thought I would be at 49 years old. And it has been a journey for us as a family. We've made a long-term investment in a church that we currently aren't part of anymore. And, you know, it's a journey at times in life to close one chapter and open a new. And it's difficult. You know, I heard a testimony of someone else sharing back here of their journey. And, you know, life is like that. Life is like that. And what we have to remember is God is wanting to work Himself out in each one of our personal lives. And God has a plan. And you know, one of the hardest things at times to do, and I'm not trying to shed any light on our experience or what some of the hard things you are that you go through, but you know, there are times also where we look back with regrets in some of our own personal choices and we wish that we could even do some things different in hopes to have a different outcome. And that is one of the hardest things to get over. And I think it will do ourselves a great favor when we realize there are times we all do that. We don't have it figured out. But I believe when we're willing to journey the journey of humility and get a hold of faith and get a hold of God and go forward, that is where we'll succeed. And so if there was anything that I could put the most emphasis on here this morning, you know, I am trying to learn how to live what James teaches in James chapter 1, to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. But I'm convinced of one thing, that God's grace is sufficient. I'm convinced this morning that God's grace is going to be sufficient for our family's journey. And I'm convinced that God's grace will be sufficient for yours also. These are the qualities that God wants to build in our lives. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, and patience. The ability to continue on when we don't feel like it. I'm just going to quickly look at the last three here. Godliness, godlikeness. You know, when others look at my life, are they reminded of Jesus Christ? And that's a challenge for all of us, and there's times we fail at that. But are we growing in godliness? Are we becoming more like Jesus Christ? And are we loving His kingdom more and more? You know, through Jesus Christ, we've been delivered from the corruption that is in this world. And you know, the young people today are under more pressure than probably any other generation, possibly. I can't say that for sure, but they're under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things putting pressure on young people of our day, on adults of our day. But through Jesus Christ, we've been delivered from that. Let's grow into His likeness. Let's study the life of Jesus Christ and love His kingdom more and more and become more like Christ. Grow in the area of godliness. You know, a question we could ask is, what do I connect with the most, the things of God or the influence of this world that's putting tremendous pressure on the Church of Jesus Christ? May we grow in the likeness of Christ. Brotherly kindness, that's the kind of love that flows in a brotherhood. I think it's the kind of love and kindness that should flow in a brotherhood. It's the kind of love that can very quickly overlook faults. It's the kind of love that you can sense in visiting a given congregation, and that to be contrasted with the stiffness and the coldness that can be in a congregation when fear permeates a congregation. And I'd like to just bless you as a congregation here. And your sharing time this morning was a blessing. I think there's a lot of brotherly kindness in this fellowship, and I just want to encourage you to continue in that journey. Brotherly kindness is something to be valued. You know, brotherly kindness is something that can be lost with contention and difficulty and hardship. Feed brotherly kindness. It can be lost very quickly. Be kind even when approached or challenged by a brother. We were made for relationships and companionship. If we claim to be devoted to God's ways, we will care deeply about what God cares about. What God cares about most is humankind. Every human being is precious to God. True success can only be found when a person has a high value for other human beings and is moved to interact with them out of kindness and compassion. Do we receive others as Christ has loved us? Are we hospitable? Are we quick to minister, to serve others whenever possible? Do we speak well of others? Do we look for ways to encourage and to bless others? Now, I realize we don't do that at the expense of God and His Word. We don't overlook sin. We don't do that. But do we relate in kindness to people? Brotherly kindness is one of these qualities to be added to our lives. How important is brotherly kindness to you and I? And then the last one here that it encourages with is love. Do we seek to love God and His kingdom above our own interest? Do we love the lost? Do we love the family? Do we love the family of God? Love is necessary. Love is important. Love talks here about adding love, charity. Matthew 24:12 says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, I'm made to believe that where, if we look at this scripture in the other sense, I shouldn't say the other sense, but if we look at this scripture, I think we can conclude that maybe where love is lacking, iniquity abounds. You know, true, genuine love of the brethren. Am I resolved to love like God loves? You know, at times, even in brotherhood life and in church life, things happen that we can very easily compromise on love. You know, Stephen has always been an example to me. When he was being stoned to his death, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. God, help us to love like Stephen. Learn to be quick to forgive. Well, just some concluding thoughts here. Just some concluding thoughts here as we look at the rest of the scripture. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter here and just look at after it gives these qualities to be pursued. It says, besides this, and I think I referred a bit to that, besides our faith in Christ, our security and all those things that God gives us. He says, besides this, these are the virtues that He admonishes us to add to our faith. And then He gives us a warning in verse 9. He says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, this morning I'd just like to let a scripture like that to weigh on my heart this morning, that if we lack those things, if we don't go after those things, if we don't make those things part of our life. In fact, He says that if these things be in you, you know, I think it's one of those things that if we can learn to allow these qualities to be in us and just to become part of our lives. And He says, if we lack these things, then we're blind and we cannot see afar off and we have forgotten that we were purged of our old sins. And I think anybody that is vulnerable to the Temptations of Satan is someone that begins to forget who he is in Christ, what Christ has done. And when we lack building these values and virtues in our life, it's just a warning. We become blind and we cannot see afar off and we forget who we were. And then we have this, the responsibility part of it in verse 10. He says, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then we have the tremendous promise that says, if ye do these things, you shall never fall. And in verse 8, he says, For if these things be in you and abound, you're growing in these areas. For the Christian to be growing in these areas, a beautiful promise. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. And then he gives the beautiful promise that will never fall. That will never fall. This passage here has been one of my favorite passages because this is my security in Christ. This is my security. You know, I don't know. I'm imagining as an Anabaptist people, your position on unconditional eternal security. I believe our security is conditional. And what are the conditions? I think the conditions are right here for the Christians. I think the conditions are right here in this passage for the Christian. And it is a place where we can actually be secure. It's a place where we as God's people can be secure in our faith. When we allow God to work, first of all in our lives, our faith in Christ, but then to work these virtues in our life, we can be secure and we can be at rest and we can be at peace with God. And I'm thankful. Well, God bless you as a congregation. It's been a rich blessing to be in your midst again. It really has. I appreciated being here. I appreciated the worship. Appreciated the sharing time. It's been a blessing. And just want to bless you. God bless you.